Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Filling in for Brian today, I am Juan Manuel Benitez, the host of Pura Política on the Spanish language station New York One Noticias. Stay with us for these 2 hours of hopefully smart conversation we want you to be a part of. President Donald Trump's budget is out, and one thing is pretty clear. He's keeping many of his campaign promises. We're going to try to learn a little more about what this budget proposal means for the environment and science, public housing, and the arts. It's St. Patrick's Day, and many Irish Americans are proudly marching up Fifth Avenue this morning. Some others will be protesting Trump's immigration policies at an event called Irish Stand. We will talk to its organizer. And we'll talk also to Richard Gellis, the author of Out of Harm's Way, Creating an Effective Child Welfare System. And for those looking for a job, tips on the best and worst job interviews. All this and more today on The Brian Lehrer Show. Donald Trump's budget outline was released yesterday. It is just a proposal, a wish list coming from the White House that will have to be negotiated with both chambers of Congress. The $1.1 trillion spending plan sets Trump's priorities, increasing funds for the Defense Department and border security, and drastically cutting the budgets for environmental efforts, diplomacy, housing, and the arts. It leaves entitlements like Social Security and Medicare untouched. Military spending would increase by $54 billion, a 10% rise. Trump's proposal also includes adding $1.5 billion to immigration and customs enforcement. And there's also a $2.6 billion down payment to start building the wall on the Mexican border. The agency that suffers the most is the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, that would see its budget cut by 31%. The State Department would see a similar cut. Also, Trump is proposing eliminating all funding to the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a key revenue source for PBS and NPR. Even though Republicans have long campaigned for reducing the national deficit, there's nothing in this budget to address that issue. And we'll start with what this means for the environment. Joining us now, Brady Dennis. He's a reporter for The Washington Post and environmental activist Bill McKibben. Good morning to you both.
Hey, good to be with you.
Good morning.
Brady, let me start with you. Is this a fiscal or a policy proposal?
That's a good question. I think the answer is that it's probably a little bit of both, but it's certainly a policy proposal and a political proposal when it comes to the EPA. This is a budget that's meant to make a point, and it's really a point that Donald Trump made a lot on the campaign trail when he would say things like that he planned to eliminate the EPA in almost every form. And he said once that he planned to leave only tidbits of this agency. And so in some ways, this really does that. I mean, a 31% cut, the administration said it envisions cutting about 3,200 employees. That's about 20% of the workforce of the EPA, and eliminating 50 different programs altogether. And we can talk about some of those. But I think I put it in the paper today as taking a sledgehammer to the EPA.
Right, because
if it were to be enacted.
Brady, what's the main thing that the EPA won't be able to do if this budget is approved?
I mean, the list is very long of what the EPA wouldn't be able to do. And I think one thing that's important to point out to folks is a huge part of what the EPA does, I think about $4 billion a year, goes to states and localities to do environmental protection and any other number of things such as improving their infrastructure for water and waste and that kind of stuff. So this would certainly cut an agency that's based in Washington, but the ripple effects of that would go out all over the country in different ways. That's everything from cleanups of the Chesapeake Bay and the Great Lakes region to enforcement of environmental crimes, to Superfund cleanup sites. All these things and others would be drastically cut under this or in some cases entirely cut under this budget.
So do you think that would the EPA be able to do a decent job with this level of funding?
I mean, that's a matter of opinion. I think a lot of folks say it's already has a pretty slim budget for the mandates that it has to cover. I think the Trump administration has said and would say what it wants to do is shift responsibility to the states themselves to enforce these laws. Mm-hmm. The states are the primary enforcers of the laws. The problem with that argument is that states themselves have a lack of funding in many cases, and this budget would also cut that funding further because they a lot of times depend on grants and other loans from the federal government to do environmental protection. So, you know, that argument itself is a little bit tenuous.
Right. And Bill, I'm sure many of our listeners are right now are wondering, well, I don't even know what the EPA does. Do you think that the federal funding is so crucial here? Is there maybe a silver lining in all these proposed cuts because maybe individuals are going to start learning more about what the EPA does? And if the agency cannot do its job, maybe they'll basically start new efforts, individual efforts, or private funding to do the same things that the EPA was doing until this point.
The kind of Joni Mitchell argument, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Yeah, I mean, look, this is what we're doing with the EPA borders on insanity. We just came through the hottest year in history, 2016, smashing the record the Globe set in 2015, smashing the record that it set in 2014. So our response is to, among all the other things at the EPA, eliminate all funding for climate work. The Office of the Budget guy, Mulvaney, said yesterday as he was making these announcements, he said, climate funding is a waste of your money. We're not spending money on that anymore. So, you know, against the biggest problem the world's ever faced, we're now out of business. I think what you said is correct. The best that can be said for this is no one can have any doubt from here on in about, we're not walking both sides of this. We're not being hypocritical. We're just being plain, straight-out idiots about it. And when history writes the story of what went down with the collapse of ecosystems on this planet, this will be an obvious, easy opening chapter. I got to say, the thing that makes it saddest in a way is that the most vulnerable people are the ones who've done the least to cause this problem here and around the world. And the fact that one of the first things that got zeroed out at EPA was their environmental justice program.
Right. And I want Bill, I want you to talk a little bit more about that because that's a term, environmental justice, that we hear a lot lately. Some people might not know what that means. Can you explain really briefly what that means, environmental
Absolutely.
Justice?
And I should note in passing that the New York City Environmental Justice Alliance is about to celebrate, I think, its 25th anniversary with a big gathering this month. Eddie Batista and others in the city, Elizabeth Jean-Pierre, who've done so much to make these issues important and salient for New Yorkers over the years. Look, environmental justice is just the realization that, as in many other realms, the people who are on the bottom get hit hardest all the time. They're the ones who live with pollution, with all the things that cause environmental degradation, and then when we start heating up the planet, they're the ones who pay the first price. Eventually, of course, global warming's going to do in everybody, but, you know, look at who lost their homes when Hurricane Sandy came through. It wasn't it wasn't rich people for the most part. So that's what's going on at the EPA is really sad. Mustafa Ali, who for 27 years, I think, had been leading working in the environmental justice office at the EPA and rose to be its leader, quit a couple of days ago. He could read the handwriting on the wall. Happily, he's gone to work for the hip-hop caucus, which has emerged as one of the really great fighters around climate change, and I think that he'll be, you know, a key figure in the huge March on Washington on April 29th for climate action. But look, there's no sugarcoating what's going on. This is really right. ludicrous and insane.
So, Brady, the one of the programs, like you said, and you mentioned in your article in the Washington Post yesterday, is the Energy Star program. It's that, I think, that little star that we see sometimes in our on our refrigerators. And what does that mean to the regular American, the regular consumer, that a program like this one would be eliminated?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Energy Star. We've written a bit about that. It's one of these, and you can single out several things like this in this budget, but more than several, that is really not controversial on any side. It's a program that is meant to improve energy efficiency in appliances and other household items. You mentioned the star that we're all familiar with, and to ultimately save, you know, customers money. So average folks like it. Companies participate in it. They like it. It's a selling point of their products. It seems to have no, you know, partisan divide to it. And yet, in this budget, it was eliminated entirely. And there are other programs. We're talking about the EPA, of course, but there are other programs throughout the government that are sort of in the same boat when it comes to energy and in the environment. I'm thinking of some Department of Energy programs aimed at funding all sorts of energy, but particularly clean energy, renewable energy, that business itself had invested in and supported, that would now be gone under this budget.
And Brady, the Republican Party has for decades tried to defund agencies like the EPA. Why do you think there's so much opposition among Republicans to this budget proposal?
You said opposition to this.
Yeah, opposition proposal. To this. Yeah, because we've heard some more than one Republican congressperson criticizing this budget.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'll only speak to the EPA part of it. There's probably other reasons and other agencies that that lawmakers would oppose it. When it comes to the EPA, again, a lot of these programs, I'll take one or two as an example. The Superfund cleanup, which is there to clean up toxic chemical sites, and the Brownfields program, which cleans up abandoned industrial sites, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, and prepares them for redevelopment. These are essentially in almost every congressional district in the country. I mean, they're spread out everywhere. They're popular. They have traditionally been seen as successful programs. And so, you know, I don't think congressmen or women on any side are going to be eager to cut that sort of thing. And Scott Pruitt, the new EPA administrator, who has traditionally been quite an adversary of the EPA, himself has spoken in favor of programs like this. So I think when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of actually passing a budget, I think the Trump administration is going to see that these things aren't so easily to just – it's not so easy to just wipe away some of these programs that are really popular.
And really interesting that you mentioned at the beginning that it's going to – these cuts are going to mean a lot of jobs lost. They're going to cut a lot of jobs at the EPA. That means middle-class jobs, correct? And Donald Trump campaigned promising jobs, jobs, jobs. Is this just like – it's going to be a really hard argument to make to his constituents?
Well, I think the argument that the Republicans will make is that if we cut this agency and we cut essentially the regulations on industry, this has long been the argument, that will kind of take the reins off these companies that have been so constrained, particularly under the Obama administration, with all these regulations, that they will then be able to grow and hire, and the number of jobs that will come from that will far outpace any jobs mm-hmm. that are lost at a government agency. We don't know that to be true just yet, and we'll have to see how that plays out. I think there's some argument, there's some questions about whether that will actually happen, whether the companies would use that newfound freedom to go hire people, or simply if that ends up in some cases to go to the bottom mm-hmm. line, if they no longer have to comply.
And Bill, do you think that at the end of the day, this might be only a negotiation tactic by Donald Trump, just proposing these drastic cuts to start the conversation going and then maybe get into a midpoint to compromise at the end of the day with Congress?
Well, I think if you would do, it's a crazy compromise. I mean, I think that if you begin the if you begin the negotiation by saying, we're going to end Meals on Wheels so, you know, lots and lots, millions and millions of old people can't eat anymore, and then you come back and say, oh, well, we're only going to cut Meals on Wheels in half so, you know, only half as many millions of old people won't have somebody showing up with a meal. I mean, yes, you've reached a compromise, but it's still ridiculous. And exactly the same thing with climate change, exactly the same thing with all the other programs that they're cutting in EPA. Personally, I take the Trump administration at their word. I think they're going to do everything they can to get rid of funding that improves the environment, because I think they think it's not an issue, not a problem. I mean, we have a president who believes that global warming was a hoax invented by the Chinese. He is a delusional character. That is, if someone said that to you, you know, on the sitting on the, you know, C train, you would get up and move to the next seat because you'd understand that they were, you know, not in their right mind. Somehow this guy, not in his right mind, ended up president of the United States, and the whole world's going to pay the price.
What do you think, Brady? Do you think that this is just a tactic out of the deal book?
Yeah, it may be. I mean, to some extent, every budget is. You know, every budget is a starting bid, I guess. But this is, as Bill noted, it's something different. I mean, it's a really, at least as far as the EPA is concerned, a really drastic budget. And it's more than that. It's a statement of intention. And the intention is to gut an agency such as the EPA, which Trump, you know, to his credit, has said he would do. And he's following up on that, as well as, it seems, with the, the work on climate change, which crosses many agencies of the federal government and has reverberations all across the world.
Mm-hmm. And, Bill, so people like you, people, activists, people that are not really happy right now with this proposal, what to do? What are you thinking about doing to fight these proposed changes and cuts?
Well, we're going to kick like hell. You know, there's a huge People's Climate March in D.C. on April 29th. You remember we did this in New York City in the fall of 2014, and there were 400,000 people on 6th Avenue. This is going to be big also in D.C., and it can't just be, you know, activists. It's got to be, if it's going to be successful, it's got to be everybody getting on a bus or getting on the Amtrak and going down to Washington and saying, you know what, I'm going to live on this planet another 20, 30, 40, 50 years. My kids are going to be here 60, 70, 80 years. Their grandkids are going to be here for a long time. We're not going to let you do this. The short-sightedness of short-sightedness is a kind word for what's going on here. There's never been a set of policies, I think, more obtuse or more ill-timed. We are in the middle now of climate change overtaking the planet, and our only response is to, you know, stick our fingers in our ears and go la, 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 la.
Okay. Thank you so much. You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show, filling in for Brian today. I am Juan Manuel Benitez. We've been talking to Washington Post reporter Brady Dennis and environmental activist Bill McKibben about the president's budget proposal and its drastic cuts to the EPA. Brady, Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you for having us.